All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Calling the meeting to order. Attendance, Madam Clerk, Madam Deputy Clerk.
All are in attendance except for Councillor Girard at the moment.
Okay, and hopefully she's on her way. Looking for approval of the agenda. Mover and seconder for that. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Dalgety, all in favor? Thank you. So our agenda is approved. Disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. You can make that statement if that pertains to yourself. There is no closed session, so therefore there is no rise and report, no delegations, deputations, and presentations or public meetings, which brings us to the one item on our agenda, which is the strategic plan. And the purpose of this meeting is two purposes. One is to consider the results of the public consultation, and the other is to make any necessary amendments based on those public consultation pieces we have received, and to adopt the strategic plan. So just a few words about the strategic plan. This is our document, it's Council's document, which is different from creating a master plan or a planning document. The strategic plan identifies the priorities of Council this term, so it has a very short window. And these are the problems Council would like to have discussions around. So the approving the plan is really allowing those discussions to occur. Members of Council have had these comments for a little over 2 weeks to consider. And the first part of our meeting, I'd like to hear from members if there are topics or items identified in those comments that you would like specifically to have included in the strategic plan. And with that, I'll just go to CEO Kelly, if there's any comments you might like to make right off the top.
Sure. And I guess first off, I'm going to start by, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't draw everyone's attention to our new website that launched last week. And I think it's fantastic what staff have done. It's a great job, and I just wanted to do a shout out to staff and thank them for the work that they did. And two very important things: on time and on budget, and no downtime. It's working, which is, if anybody has gone through some of these processes in the past, a very good thing to have happen. And I just want to say thank you to Jean Hartfield, Tiffany McLaren, and Jennifer Russell for making it happen, as well as a lot of our admin staff who had a hand in rewriting a lot of the content on the website. So greatly appreciate what they've done there. Now to the point at hand, strategic plan. As I mentioned in the report, in this document is supposed to be Council's vision. And so it relates to your term in office. And I'll probably end up saying that a couple of times, but I think that it is it's worth mentioning, because even next week when we do, when the service delivery reports are presented at Council, you're actually going to see a corporate planning framework, a corporate governance framework that's going to be presented as part of the strategic or strategy corps report or service delivery presentation to us. And I think that's important, because within that, you're actually going to see at the top strategic plan for your planning cycle, which is different than what many people may see as a strategic planning process that they might be familiar with, something that might be much longer in duration. But in a municipal world, the best practice is a strategic plan relates to the term of the existing council that you're dealing with. Right? It's not generally, and I believe this is mentioned in the report, a practice where you put together a strategic plan and you bind future councils to a vision that they may or may not agree with. And usually each term of council starts off, and we heard this from the clerk of the City of Ottawa when he presented to us as well, that their general planning process is that they start off with a strategic planning, let's set the agenda for council, let's determine the priorities. And that's what you have here. In speaking to the longer term vision, we have a number of documents that speak to that, right? You have your active transportation master plan. You have your transportation master plan. You have your recreation plan. You have your community economic development strategy. We have a number of documents that take a much longer view. And that's important because those documents are geared towards the life of the infrastructure. Again, what we're doing here is we're looking at what your priorities are as council, as a group together. What are your priorities that you're telling staff that you want achieved or that you're hoping to achieve within your term of council? So what this document represents to me, as it is right now, is 13 conversations that you're telling us you want to have. Okay, that's 13 things that are the priorities that you want to see us flesh out. The project charters that we gave you as part of this process were illustrative. Okay, they weren't the plan itself. They were there to give you, I guess, comfort or to illustrate how your priorities can be implemented and they can be delivered. So what we were trying to do is say, this is the amount of staff time, this is the amount of external help, this is kind of the timeline, this is how it fits in, and here are some of the issues. Today, I wouldn't concentrate your efforts on trying to tweak the project charters or things like that. Those conversations are going to come later down the road, and we're going to have opportunities to make sure that the issues that you want to see discussed in them are the appropriate issues, and whether the public consultation plan that will go with each one is sufficient, and that's what you want to have see happen. But what we have to do first is you've got to tell us that these are the 13 conversations you want to have, or these are the 13 priorities. And until you tell us that these are the right 13 priorities, we're going to be stuck in limbo on a lot of things. Now, some of these projects we have started, such as Official Plan Amendment 22, such as the Service Delivery Review. There are others that are waiting for your direction and your decision. That's things like a community safety plan, community services master plan, a new economic development plan, and even the long-term financial plan is not fully fleshed out. So those are the types of things that we need to get your direction on. And with that in mind, the reason that we went through this public consultation process of asking people what they thought about the priorities. Are they the right priorities? Are we missing any priorities? Are there gaps in what's been put forward? But at the end of the day, it's your decision as council whether these are the priorities that you want to see implemented. And again, with that in mind or in that train of thought, the public consultation that was done, I didn't see it as appropriate or as a part of the process for us to actually filter those comments to you. So in terms of evaluating the comments or whatever, what we've done is we've summarized them to make it easy, and we've included a summary in the document so that people have an understanding of the relative gist of them. But you've actually had the opportunity to review the individual comments. And like I said, that's important when we look at this as your document. You're going to decide as a council how those comments are going to be, how they're going to influence your 13 priorities or not. So it's up to you to decide whether you want to change your 13 priorities based on the public consultation. Now, a lot of them are individual comments that are particular maybe to project charters or an issue or what have you. The way I see those actually being used is when we actually go to kick off that project, these will become some of the starting points. So if people have told us that, this is an idea or this is an issue that should be part of strategic planning or part of this transportation master plan or part of the village vitality or part of the community safety or what have you, that's when we'll bring those issues in at that point in time. So again, we're not evaluating whether they're right or wrong. And I did speak to that in the document. I mean, these are people's opinions, right? Your opinion is not right or wrong. And what we're trying to do here is say to you as council, this is what the public's reaction has been to this. So we've provided council with those direct comments, and we're going to leave that to you and your discussion here today to determine how you want to change your priorities. But I think at the end of the day, what we really need coming out of this is your direction that these are the right priorities. The wordsmithing, I don't think, is as important as you telling us that they are the right ones. Maybe you might want to do 7. Maybe you might want to do 5. Maybe you might want to do 13. But this is the culmination of your discussions and how we've decided to, or how we've kind of packaged them up. And I think I'm going to leave it at that, because I think that sets the stage, I think, in terms of the process piece of how we got here today, what the consultation is, and the recommendation that's before you is to accept this report as the summary of the consultation, and then for you to provide any direction on how you want to see the overall plan tweaked or massaged. But again, this is your vision of what's to be accomplished in your term of council. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, so with that, I'd like to turn it over to council to hear your comments. There's two comments I'll provide somewhat as an example of, I think, what we're looking for from members on the consultation that has happened. Two comments that I can provide to you is that I was actually quite impressed with the comments that we received. The strategic plan with all of the charters is a large document, and we asked people to look through that in the summer, and I think, as usual, we got a lot of feedback from the public. So that was something I wanted just to put out there, that I thought we have received very good feedback. I think a lot of the feedback, though, fits the discussions later, as CEO Kelly had indicated. I think this is something that I would like to see communicated to the public, that that we've received their input, and I think there'll be opportunity for further input on some of the specifics that they have brought forward. One other comment that I would offer for your suggestion, when I looked at the entirety of the comments, one thing that stood out to me as missing was youth. We didn't get feedback from youth, and I don't know that our plan really speaks to youth as well. So something I would offer for you to consider is a motion directing that staff utilize specific strategies to engage youth when we're looking specifically at the communications and engagement plan. So that's number 10. So I don't want to say what those strategies might be. I'd like just to acknowledge that they need to be part of the plan. And that's an example of, I think, what we want to do with some of the comments that we have had, and any of those gaps that you feel like need to be addressed in those further discussions we're going to have in the 13 items. So there's a couple of examples from my point of view. I can go right around the circle if everybody has comments on this, or I can start with someone if they have burning comments and wants to get it off their chest right now. Yep, sure. Councillor Delgatty?
I just like to open this part of it up for discussion. It's based on a comment, strategic planning for service delivery review. The service delivery review, in my perspective, would last for quite a few years, a lot longer than the 4-year council cycle. Should it be standalone? Should we be looking at the outcome of the service delivery review, which will probably play on a lot of the strategic goals? Just looking for comments for other members of council on that.
So comments on that? Councillor Maiden?
To Councillor Delgatty, yeah, the service delivery, like I had kind of 4 main priorities that I boiled down. Like, to me, these are the most pressing things that we need to do. One is a combination of the infrastructure, long-term financial plan, and like master transportation plan, all those things, because those costs, we're looking at the budget next, and those are kind of the big elements. And I think those kind of need to be rolled up into kind of like a financial infrastructure planning thing. Second one is economic development. The last service delivery review of recreation and culture criticized us for kind of basically supporting what is essentially a BIA through our economic development. I think the economic development factor needs to be completely refocused in combination like the business park, all that sort of thing. And the third one is under the service delivery review, I think it's going to come out with priorities for human resources and information technology. That kind of ties into the mayor's communication issue, I think. I mean, you can't really have much good communication anymore without IT. But those are my comments.
I didn't mean to exclude CAO Kelly as well. Sorry about that. I just asked for members of council, but yourself as well.
Would you like comments specifically from CAO Kelly?
If he has any on that.
Well, I think your point was basically the service delivery review has, a longer life than a term of council. And I think the impacts of the service delivery review, I mean, when implemented, will be longer. There is a continuous improvement approach that many municipalities have. However, like a comprehensive wide service delivery review being done on a recurring basis all the time is going to be resource intensive and is going to it's going to draw the focus of the organization away. Now, there's a way to do that, and we could start, instead of doing the whole organization all the time in terms of a service delivery review, we can start looking more towards maybe performance measurement and actually looking at implementing performance measurement as a component. And those become your kind of your tracking measures, and also give you an indication of the health of the organization, the efficiency of the organization, and how it's actually performing, okay? So what we've done in terms of the service delivery review is trying to understand where some of the performance issues are. Then we address them. Then we would use something like a performance measurement framework, such as something like balanced scorecard, if anybody's heard of those types of methodologies, and use something like that to then monitor the organization, and that drives out kind of your continuous improvement, because you have targets to track to, goals to track to, and a monitoring mechanism. Now, that does take a bit of time. But in terms of continuing to do a service delivery review, I don't see that as something that we would continue, like be in that continuous mode, because it does take a lot of resources.
No, go ahead, Dylan.
Okay.
Yep.
Through the chair to CAO Kelly, the continuous improvement, is that kind of, that would be a process that you could actually build into a sort of an organizational process design or something that each department would have their own, hopefully not too onerous kind of a Deming management method of, quantifying things. And I think we'd all like to see more of that, but it needs to be kind of institutionalized and made easy to do, and I think the IT component of that might be good.
Yeah, and there is, in terms of a process, the point I was trying to make is the level of effort that we're putting into this service delivery review. I wouldn't see us doing this level of effort, this cost, and this intensity again for several years. Okay, that's mainly where I was going with that. But in terms of continuous improvement as a management tool or as an attitude or something you continuously do, one of the ways to get at that is through something like a balanced scorecard, which helps to ensure that you're measuring and you're managing. That's how kind of continuous improvement can be built in. Now, we can also build in review cycles. So, for instance, a department would be looking at reviewing itself and its processes every so often, or some of its processes. So if we think of something like, when you're talking about IT, one of the tactics or tools that's used is business process mapping. And that's basically where we take a process, whether it might be, say, in the planning department, you submit an application for a building permit or a site plan. How does that actually work its way through the department? Who has to review things? How long does it take? And things like that. Now, you can review that process time and time and time again. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to take time out of it or fix it all the time. But you can go through that process. Now, you might actually take maybe even a process every quarter or every 6 months or what have you, and go through it. Because again, these efforts are time consuming on the organization. So yeah, you have to have the resources to do that. So that's the only thing that I'm kind of cautious of here.
Councillor Ferguson and then Councillor Girard.
Thank you. Well, for the better part of a year, we've been at this. And yes, we've had 6 months of unprecedented, call it what you wish. So looking back or looking forward, would our vision change on the 13 priorities that we've identified here, or not that we have yet, that the individuals in the community have identified? And knowing that we have to make the call sooner or later, is it doable, the fact that right now, with the 13 items, we're projecting about $500,000, give or take. Yes, we're going to be reviewing our budget tonight in an overview as opposed to any great detail. And I just wonder, are we really in a position now to address what we've just seen in front of us? And that's really where I guess I'm coming from, is I've looked at these fairly extensively, I think, and I don't know where we would prioritize them in the numbers 1 to 13. Yes, I can see the four top areas that roughly 74 emails were received, I believe, with 140 details. And again, I wonder, is that sufficient to carry on? I realize it's difficult circumstances for communication and issues like that, but are we prepared to move on right now with these items, or should we be taking and discussing in more detail these, and if there are any other ones that have surfaced since we initiated this project in the fall of 2019? And that's a question, I guess, for around the table.
So you've kind of got the second part of what I was hoping to discuss up front. No, that's all right. I will come to you in a moment here, Councillor Girard. What I was hoping to do is to hear if there were comments in the public consultation documents that we have, if there were comments there that you see a gap in. And to Councillor Ferguson's point, it is their comments were coming in at a different time than when we were creating this document. The world's on its ear, and have things changed. We can jump to have that conversation about if there needs to be changes to this. I do just want to keep an eye on the clock, because we do have a second meeting today too, and I want to make sure everybody has had the chance to provide comments about the public comments. This is the reason we had the deferral. But if it is the wish of council, we can jump to that discussion first about priorities and about the work plan and timeline. Is there any general feedback on that from anyone?
The first meeting of the review.
The strategic plan?
Yep. I said the priorities had changed if there was a nuclear war. Well, I was wrong. It was only a pandemic. So I'm with Councillor Ferguson. I think we should take a second check. And I have some comments, but they're just comments. I'll leave them till after. Not about the ones received, just personal comments.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other thoughts? Councillor Holmes?
Yeah, I agree. I think the world has changed, and I think we need to take a relook. And certainly from what I was reading, people are recognizing that, like they're talking about COVID-19. You know, we need to address that issue. And also the other thing is internet and cell service. I know it's not in our venue to be, you know, providing that, but I think it needs to be made clear to people that there is a different level of government that looks after that. But we need to really advocate for it and let people know that we are, because people are getting really frustrated. I still get phone calls about it even.
Okay, so let's then jump to the list. We have 13, let's call them conversations or topics that we had identified as ones that we wanted to prioritize. I do want to keep our conversation not on finding solutions, but on identifying what it is we're wishing for staff to be looking at. What are our problem points or our pinch points? These are the 13 that we had identified through our process. And maybe if you can go to the page, I think it's page 18, that shows the work plan as well, so the timeline. And maybe to begin the conversation, I'll go to you, CEO Kelly, and just provide some comments on how you think things have changed or haven't changed, what's doable or what's not doable, given this timeline that was put in place back last spring before COVID. And let's start our conversation there.
I think for the most part, right off the bat, while I'm not oblivious that COVID is impacting how we are conducting business and how people's daily lives are impacted, we still have a number of things that, as a municipality, and recognizing our authority and recognizing our areas of responsibility and influence, as a health pandemic, we don't have any health-related responsibilities. So with regards to what you've outlined, and again, this is your strategic plan as council. This is what you're telling us to achieve within your term of office. I don't think within your term of office, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, but that the municipality of Mississippi Mills is going to solve the pandemic, or we're going to create a vaccine. So to somehow say that we are going to not have to do the things that we do. People still need roads. We still need to prepare for winter. We still need to provide potable drinking water. We still need to treat sewer. We still need to pick up garbage. We still need to prepare land for economic development. We still need to collect taxes. We still need to look at our IT infrastructure so that we can help people interact with us better, communicate with us better, pay their bills better, get information better. So when we actually sit back and look at, I think, what you've outlined, I think that COVID will probably be in the backs of people's minds as these conversations are taking place, in particular as we talk about things like community services master plan or a community safety plan. Those are the types of things where I think people are going to have a new perspective, or maybe ask some different questions, such as, people probably have had no interest in the emergency response plan in a very long time. I think now they're probably going to have a little more interest when we start to talk about an emergency response plan for the organization. I think that's where we're going to see COVID come into play. So just in terms of, do I think we need to do a deep rethink on the conversations? Again, if this is your list of priorities as council, I don't see how council is going to affect the pandemic. Now, again, being respectful, I don't say that we're oblivious to it. I just think that as council, there's certain things that you have to have responsibility for. roads, water, sewer, economic development, recreation, daycare. But we don't have responsibility for hospitals, assessment centers, COVID testing, vaccine development, or anything like that. So I was going to park that for now. In terms of, I think Mayor Lowry's original question as well, touched on timing, I think, and basically this Gantt chart, and can we actually do these projects, and maybe if the timing should be shifted for them. I will say again, as a strategic plan of council, this is basically what you're saying you would like to achieve. You are almost 2 years into your term, so there's only 2 years left. These items, we've positioned them within the next 2 years to hopefully have them completed by about the second half of 2022, right? I think is the one that kind of stretches out the most. There are some of these that will probably stretch a little bit longer, such as the plan for advocacy and partnerships. Now, that's just kind of a carryover until the new council gets in and the new council says, no, this is what we want to advocate on. So until you have that kind of discussion. And the communication and engagement plan, until a new council would decide some of those things change. Those things would change when the new council comes in and the new council has their strategic planning session and decides if the vision is going to change or what their priorities are. Again, similar to the way other municipalities start their term of office with their council. So I think your question was basically, do I see any of these changing? No, I think some of these projects that we have outlined, as I said in our document as well, these are foundational things that we have to do. A long-term financial plan. We need one. Transportation master plan update, we're due. Master infrastructure projects, we're due, right? I mean, we need these things. These are key. I think Councillor Maiden also made that point as her number one was infrastructure. And those are the types of things that we need. The information technology plan, that is also a piece of business that I think we really need to take care of, as well as the human resources plan. Again, I believe they were on Councillor Maiden's list as well. These are the foundational pieces that if we don't start putting them in place, then you have a weak foundation for anything else that you try to do. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I'm going to go to Councillor Ferguson first, and then we'll go around the circle. So this was your question. Did you have a...
Yes, I don't dispute, that, yes, we should be looking at what is mandated, and I totally agree with that. But again, it's coming back, I guess, to what you were going to say, or the second part of it. Are there priorities here? These are not priorities. These are 13 items that we're looking at. And I think the CEO made reference to it, that maybe we should look at such things as the community safety plan that probably wasn't that concerning to residents a year ago. Now it is. So should we be prioritizing in addition to these 13? And I guess that is eventually what we're going to work our way towards anyway, maybe today or at a future date. But I think that is, it was confusing to me when I saw the four top areas, and no disrespect to the public coming in with those, but are they ours as we move forward and look at them out of the 13? That's...
So maybe I'll go to the CAO for that, just to clarify about the question of prioritizing, because I know it's come up before, because it looks like they're ranked 1 through 13, but I think that's just that we have a list of 13. Your comments on prioritizing, and my immediate thought is I think that the each of these discussions are connected to a member of staff. My own thought would be, is there need to prioritize because there's more than a staff member could accomplish in the time that we have? Or is there a wish to prioritize the work beyond just what is being assigned to staff? Am I getting your gist, Councillor Ferguson?
I think that's maybe a double-barrel question. Yes, yeah. To staff, of course. but I think prioritization in reference to economics as well.
Okay.
Because if we look at some of them, very, very expensive, as opposed to some that are, you know, they're all expensive, granted, but some more so than others, and where would those priorities lie?
Okay. So in terms of staffing, and then in both in terms of staffing and in terms of dollars spent, do you have a comment back on that, CEO Kelly?
I guess it's kind of where to start, Councillor Ferguson, through the chair, but I think with regards, I'll start with the public and the top four that came back. And I don't think that those top four should be any surprise to you as councillors that that's where the public's focus was. There were comments in the set, but they were very few. And if we go to the summary up here, you know, when we think about the nature of some of the projects, they're not public facing. And that's probably why they're not top of mind. You know, there's kind of a, I don't know if we call it a joke or a myth or just a running theme in that, but I mean, if you were to go out to the public and ask them from a budgetary standpoint, if I give you a dollar, where would you like to see it spent? I think the rule of thumb is that the response that comes back from the public is around safety and policing consistently. You ask them, do you want to spend it on human resources? No. Right? And I think you're in a unique perspective as the leaders of the organization in that you have to walk a couple of different things at the same time or in parallel. You have to ensure that the organization is ready, IT, people, it's efficient, service delivery review, plus you had to keep in mind the public-facing things that what people are concerned about. People are concerned about jobs, particularly right now in COVID. People are concerned about what we're building, you know, whether they're in the trades area. There's developers that are concerned with, are they going to be able to sell product and whatnot? Those are publicly facing concerns. And that's why I think, you know, we see economic development and branding, that so many comments came back on that, because that's something that's key to people, the business community, because it means jobs, it means taxes, and that's what they think about. From a transportation master plan standpoint, these are the roads that people drive on. These are the sidewalks and whatnot. Very topical. The community services master plan, again, that's recreation focused. That's, again, publicly focused. And the official plan amendment, we know that people are very concerned about how the community is growing or not growing or what's coming and what the future is going to look like. So like I said, in terms of that aspect, you know, in terms of what came back from the public, I'm not really surprised that those were the most popular themes. I think that's to be expected. I think, so that's kind of where I wanted to start in terms of your perspective on where people are. I think I'll leave my comments for that for now, but I think there's another part of your question that I'm not answering.
It was in terms of prioritizing, so in terms of our priorities being different from what came back from the public, but then also, is there a need to prioritize because of staffing gaps or because of dollars spent to do this work? I think it was the other half of the question from Councillor Ferguson.
Okay, so let me take the staffing. So your multi-part questions require a lot of an answer. So, so let's go to the financial section here to talk about the dollars component. So when we look at the financial section in this table, this is basically just taking the project charters. Again, the project charters were meant to be illustrative to try and answer some of these questions about how long would it take, what are the resources that we're going to need, how is it going to be implemented. So when we look at this total here, and some of the projects don't have a number against them, and that's mainly because they're mostly internal. So what we've captured in the project charters were external costs. So this sum total for all the 13 priorities looks like about, I'll round it to say $550,000. The service delivery review at 125 is already, well, the final report is going to be, and presentation is coming next week. So that one's done. That 125 came out of provincial money. So now we're down to 425,000. The official plan amendment at 58,000, that was already in your budget for 2020. That one will be completed in first quarter of 2021. So that essentially 60,000 can come off of that 425,000. So now we're down to roughly 365, 370,000. That's about $150,000 over the next 2 years, next two budgets. So you have monies in the Municipal Modernization Fund. We have other opportunities. Remember, the province within that Municipal Modernization program has earmarked $125 million over the next 4 years. There's going to be multiple intake opportunities for us to apply if we think we can avail of that. But at the end, it's probably $150,000 per year over the next couple of years. Now, more of that's probably going to fall into 2021 than others, but it's not $550,000 a year. It's over a couple of years. So that's with returns of the dollars, and that's going to be a budgetary decision for you guys to make as well. With regards to staffing, when we look at most of those projects, most have been allocated to one or two staff throughout the organization. So we've kind of spread the workload, even if somebody doesn't have, like if it's not an expertise of an individual, what they're going to be doing is acting as the project manager. So we haven't taken these projects and lumped them all into a couple of resources. They are spread across everybody from the CEO of the library to the fire chief to public works to planning to myself. And I think really when we look at the number of projects, I think I have just as many as anybody else, as well as the treasurer who has projects. So I think we've done a fairly good job of allocating the work. And I don't think anybody is going to have a large number of projects to carry in any given year. These are heavy projects, but I don't think any one staff member is overly burdened by what you've set out as the priorities. And like I said, we have identified external resources to do a number of these things. So what staff will be doing in many aspects is acting as that project manager, acting as that liaison into the group, into the organization, and making sure that the outside expert has the information that they need or taps in, gets meetings when they need it, gets data when they need it, et cetera. So Mayor Lowry, through Mayor Lowry to chair to Councillor Ferguson, I hope that answers your questions as best I can.
All right, so I've had everybody's hands go up, so I'm just going to go around the circle like this, and I'm going to start with Councilor Girard, because your hand was up quite a while ago.
Thank you. Actually, I think it was already answered. I was basically going to point out that Councilor Maiden was trying to get a hold of you. I think my only, and I don't want to make it too simple, but comment is we have to deal with needs and wants, which is basically, I think, what our CEO is saying. And I think we now have to consider that there's going to be an issue with regards to funding, which therefore is going to, I believe, prioritize our needs. So that's about all I have to say, I think.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you very much. Ken, you mentioned the service delivery review is completed, but it's going to cost a lot of money to implement it. So I'm just wondering, is there any kind of figure on that yet, or are you going to implement certain things, or are we going to implement everything at the service delivery review, or is it just a piece of paper that we're going to look at, or tell me?
Well, I think Council will get a presentation. Well, I know Council will get a presentation from Strategy Corp coming up next week, and I think you'll get the you'll get full appreciation of what their recommendations are and what the results are. I think that, like any report that's brought forward to Council, it's something that you have to consider. There will be a report from staff from the senior management team that's going to put forward our vision of how service delivery review should be implemented and how it will tie into budget and how it will tie into the strategic plan. So I don't think that council's going to take the document and say, yep, implement that next week if you could, please. Thank you very much. I think there's going to be aspects that, like anything, we're going to say, yeah, I think, you know, they hit the nail on the head. That's great. I think there's other aspects where we're going to say, no, maybe that's not where our priority is. And, you know, I think, like anything, we'll make it our own, and we'll take bits and pieces, the ones that make sense to us as council and as staff, and we'll work to implement it together. Does that, hopefully that answers your question, Deputy Mayor Manili?
Yes, for the time being. Okay. And just another thing, I think the last bullet there, long-term financial plan, we're, I think it's getting a little late in our term to go ahead and do a long, we have a long-term financial plan, it's called our debt, that we have to pay back. So I just can't see us looking forward to the end of this term of council without maybe strapping the next council that comes in, because we don't want to tie the next council's hands financially with a long-term plan if it isn't implemented and finished at our term of council. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
I think there's updating, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's updating we have to do that will feed into the asset management requirements for July, I think it's July 2021. So I think some of the long-term financial planning pieces we're going to have to do whether we have it on the list or not. And please correct me if I'm wrong on if I've stated correctly on that. I think it's July 2021 that we have to have some updated pieces. So we may not need to do all of what we've discussed, but there'll be pieces we'll have to do just to be compliant with provincial wants. Was there anything else at this time?
No.
Okay. Councilor Delgatty.
This kind of touches on a little bit what we were speaking about before, when you got feedback from staff members about the amount of work they're being delegated to do. Do they feel confident it's achievable? Do they feel overwhelmed? Just what was your feedback?
Well, as we went through the, so again, I mean, as you look at the project charters, you can see who the project leads are that have been identified doing some of the work. And, you know, staff went away and worked on a project charter to give you an idea of what it would entail. Some feedback was, yes, how are we going to manage this? And this is where we got into the discussion. So I worked with each a member of staff to kind of outline as best we could what the project would look like, so how we would get to that deliverable to achieve the priority. And that's where we started to build in, okay, there's just not enough capacity, or it's a particular expertise that you need. It's kind of like when we go to build a bridge, right? I mean, we don't design bridges in-house. We go outside to an expert. Why? Because we don't need that expertise all the time. And it's a particular subset of engineering. So we go out and we procure that expertise for that point in time. And that's what we decided to do here. You know, we recognize that in certain things we don't have an expert in. So we are going to go outside and tap into it, whether it's a human resources. We don't have a human resources department or an expert in human resources in the organization. So what we'll do is we'll go out and we'll bring somebody in. That's a particular capacity we'll need for a short period of time to build a plan, then they go away, we still have the plan, and we work on implementing it. The IT is the same thing. We're going to bring somebody on, they're going to give us the high-level picture, then we'll go away and implement it. But we don't need to keep that person on staff forever. We might need some IT resources, yes, but those are going to be different than the person that, or the people that deliver the plan. Same type of thing with the transportation master plan, the update, and the master infrastructure projects. Lots of times you need particular modeling that's useful for that, hydrology modeling, etc. We don't necessarily need to have those things in-house all the time, carrying the costs of them. We just need them for a couple of months to do that piece of work for us. So in answering your question, this is why when we look at delivering these projects, they're not all internally delivered. There are outside help that's being brought in. And I will say this, as a theme, and it's something that I recognized when I got here, is that this organization is very lean. When you compare our organization to others in our comparator set, we do not have anywhere near the number of staff that others do. And this is a reflection. I mean, we're going outside to get expertise, but we're also going outside just to get capacity. So internally, we'll be basically project managers for a lot of these things. The work will be done outside.
Does that answer your question?
Just one other one. It's just kind of a note. I wasn't surprised to see several comments on speeding, and it's something that I get constantly. And I'm just reading some of the comments of villages are experiencing the same thing I often get in towns, speeding of cars. That's all. Thank you.
I guess you weren't referring to our speed at getting things done.
Yeah.
but that is a point. I mean, and that those are the types of things that, like I said, when we look at the responses in the four top areas that came back, it's not surprising that, you know, we kind of grouped them in with a transportation master plan or a community safety plan, but I think most of those were grouped with transportation master plan, that those are the concerns of people. Like, it's not surprising that they ranked high or that there was a high number of responses, I should say. Not that they ranked high, but a high number of responses touched on that subject, because that's something that people live with on their daily life, right?
Thanks. Councilor Holmes.
Thank you. So I guess respectfully, Mr. Kelly, I do disagree with you about COVID-19 and the impact on our strategic plan. And I agree, we're not going to make vaccines, at least I hope we're not. But if we look at economic development, there's economic recovery as a result. And I think that's one of the things I was seeing in the emails I was reading. You know, there has to be some type of assistance for that, and I think at the municipal level. The other thing is, with any type of situation like this, there also becomes opportunities. And one of the things I saw in at least two of the emails was lack of discussion about the rural area in the plan. They seemed to think it was quite Almont centric, and I've no comment about that, but you know, there is an opportunity here for our agriculture community, because there's now a understanding of the need to have a local supply chain of food, and you know, so there is some opportunities here, I think, that should be in, you know, we should have in our plan. And I go back again to cell and internet services. Although we can't do anything directly, I think we need to acknowledge that this now has become a priority for people in the external, in the rural areas, because many people are needing to work from home. Children need to sometimes do their classes online. So I think we're missing an opportunity for not including that somehow in our plan. Thank you.
Okay. I was going to say the internet and broadband is included in the advocacy partnership plan as something that we would try and move that forward in. And with regards to the economic development plan and COVID, I mean, again, as you tell us that these are the priorities and these are the conversations that we go to have, that's when those things are going to start feeding in. And people are going to, there's public consultation as part of almost every project that's there. I don't think the human resources plan has public consultation in it, but most of the others do. And this is where we're going to be engaging with the community to talk about those things. You know, in terms of whether it's a higher priority or moving forward, absolutely, we could talk about that, whether you wanted it to happen sooner rather than later. But it's still, you're still identifying economic development as a priority. What the conversation ends up happening and the actions that come out of it is something yet to be identified or yet to be put together as a plan.
thank you for that. And I do agree with you. However, I still think because of the terrific effects of COVID-19, somehow or other we do need to identify, and whether that's in a preamble that identifies it as an issue, I'm not sure. And I don't think it's well understood by the public that there's going to be further opportunities for consultation. So perhaps a kind of like a preamble that gives a summary of how we see our strategic plan rolling out and how people will be engaged would be very beneficial, because certainly from the comments, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about strat plans. So we need to, for them to share our vision. I guess, you know, if we have a vision, let's share it with them.
I have to agree with your comment, and hopefully that came through on what I had said at the top. Like, I think a lot of the comments are really excellent, and not where we are at sort of the high level right now, trying to discover what are the 13 areas, or is it five or whatever. But yeah, I think there's a lot of good comments in here that perhaps when we approve this or as part of the communication around the strategic plan, if we can identify those great comments, there's going to be further discussions and ensure that people know that that's part of how this will roll out. I do wonder, and I'm just going to throw it out for your consideration and then go to Councillor Maiden for her comments, but when I'm looking at the economic development plan, which is number 12, I do wonder if maybe you would like to see an amendment. We could put it forward just as a motion to say that the economic development and branding plan be responsive and reflective of the realities of COVID. And it might change this. It might mean that we don't do branding, that we follow in line with where Valley Heartland is right now, trying to do a in this with business kind of communication strategy. It might tweak what that ends up looking like. And the same thing with supporting local agriculture and promoting local agriculture, given the stresses and the realities of COVID. Like, that might be something that would suit the very good comments you've brought forward, and then massage this once the time comes for those discussions. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I think that would be beneficial, and I think it would recognize the passion that people put into their responses to us, because I thought there was some excellent responses, and we'd hate to lose them.
Okay. So why don't we come back for some kind of a motion around that once we've kind of been around the table for everybody's comments. Is that okay? Okay. Councillor Maiden.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I like the way the timeline is mapped out on page 18, you know, by quarters and so forth. As it looks, are you prepared to be held to that at this time? Good. But I'm wondering, just for myself and for people who are listening, if you could comment on the components of the community services master plan. Like, what does that mean?
Well, two things. I mean, yes, I do think the timelines are achievable in the Gantt. So I do believe that we can deliver on that. With regards to the community services master plan, the intention of that was to really bring together a lot of the cultural, recreation, daycare aspects, and kind of that live component that we have within our community value statements. So as we look at page, let's just see in the document, I think it's page 14 of 21 in your document, we've outlined not only our vision statement, but also these value statements. And I'll just point to a number one. In Mississippi Mills, we take pride in our historic, diverse, and resilient. So when we're talking about what we want, you know, to kind of enshrine, and looking at that COVID, you've actually included resiliency as one of the as a part of one of your value statements. And resiliency means a number of different things. It means being able to be responsive and bounce back, whether it's from flood conditions, snowstorms, or a pandemic. And it's basically how you organize, or how we we make sure that the organization itself and the community is able to deal with these things, these unknowns that, that come towards us. So making sure that we're properly resourced and that we have, you know, redundancy plans, or at least have plans on how to address things. With regards to community services master plan, you know, with regards to play, we support age-friendly recreation and arts through our natural assets and people. So again, as we're looking at the community services master plan, we're looking at things like recreation, like culture, like our theater community, like our arts, like our daycare operations or our childcare operations, and our libraries. So you're trying to bring together those services that are not quite, we'll call them hard services like roads and water and sewer, but they're still a very important part, and they make a, they're a very important part of people in the community, because it's often those extra services that they take advantage of. So that's basically what I see the community services master plan being, is identifying what those services are, where we want to be, and how we're going to achieve that goal. So for instance, whether we want to be programming services in our arenas or our facilities. We do some programming, but we don't have a lot of programming staff in our recreation department like other municipalities do. The approach we've taken here in Mississippi Mills is that we rely on volunteer organizations to deliver a lot of the programming. So for instance, the minor hockey programs are delivered through volunteers. We don't provide programs. We have a recreational hockey program in Mississippi Mills, but again, that's run by volunteers. We don't have staff that are, say, on the ice or coaching or things like that. We also don't have staff that provide you know, classes or programming, whether it's arts and crafts, whether it's archery, whether it's, you know, those types of things. Now, we do some programming in the schools through our before and after school program, and we do have partners in the community like Mississippi Mills Youth Center and things like that. But again, what the master plan is going to do is have that discussion about what are the services that are important, and what are the how are those services to be delivered. And like I said, what you're going to end up getting to is a point of discussing, you know, are we a service delivery entity programming, or are we a facilitator? When you have the assets, like the fields, the baseball fields, the soccer fields, and the arenas, and you don't do programming, you're a facilitator, right? We're a provider of the assets that are necessary. If we stepped into and started programming, so we were running the, we were running football programs, we were running basketball programs, we were running hockey programs, now we're doing the programming. So it's a slightly different approach. Those are some of the things I see happening in that conversation. A big conversation to be had, but that's somewhere where I see going.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Are there other high-level comments that anyone has on the 13 conversations or the timeline, or any questions about how either fit together with the other? Because if not, I would suggest we acknowledge Councillor Holmes's two concerns about reflecting agriculture and local food, and also the realities of COVID-19 in the economic development plan. I have a motion too about youth engagement, and if there's any other motions that we might like to put on the floor to help massage how these conversations will happen when they do occur. I think this is the time to do that. And if there's anything further from the comments that we received that you would like to see reflected in the discussions, this would, I think, be the time to do that. Councillor Ferguson. Yes.
Thank you. Would it be possible to identify in the 13 those that are going to be done in-house versus consulting? I realize that the first one, community service plan, is consulting budget. I think you said that's all identified there. Internal. The other ones, could we go through just to identify those that would be take on a consulting role as opposed to within house?
So to Councillor Ferguson, through the chair, that's the table 2 in the report. which identified money. So the cost estimates that are in that report are basically the consulting that dollars that we could estimate. There was, for instance, the community services master plan. That was one that we couldn't put a price tag on in terms of an estimate at the time. But the others, we did make estimates that I think are fairly reasonable in terms of what it would cost to do some of that work. So that's based on, in many cases, similar municipalities that have gone out to RFP and gotten resources to do the work, such as the information technology plan. That's based on a RFP that was put out within the last year and the results from that community. So that's basically the consulting costs. And I've tried to identify on the notes side if it was going to be an internal project.
Is that okay, Councillor Ferguson?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor, if you can use your microphone there.
Everything that doesn't bear internal in is looking for consulting outside. Is that correct? That's kind of...
That's correct, Councillor.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Dalgety and then Councillor Maiden.
So a lot of the comments, the feedback we got, gets into more details of the plans. Will some of these be reviewed when the plans get reviewed? Just for example, for instance, human resources plan, there was a comment, create in-house training programs to allow for succession planning and career development. So these will be brought up again, correct?
Yes, Councillor Dalgety, and I believe that some of those, that was the intention of the human resources plan, is recognizing the fact that there are no succession plans or career ladders with currently in place in the organization. So we need to start looking at those aspects to develop internally. So yes, I mean, that's the intention with all of the comments that came in, is that we would, as we've broken them out and kind of allocated them to a particular priority, that they would be handed off to that project manager and they would become some of the first pieces of information that are looked upon as having that first conversation. Does the project plan address these issues? How do we tweak it? Do we add to it? Those types of things. So,
thank you.
Okay. Councillor Maiden.
I think one of the public comments was to use fewer acronyms that aren't explained. That's just a kind of minor one, but sometimes we tend to do that. And further to Councillor Holmes's motion, I'm looking on page 17 under economic development, and she's right. Like, I think commercial and agricultural are missing from that statement under the goal, like diversify economy to encourage local employment, and then millennials, entrepreneurs, digital economy, knowledge economy, with a mix of, and I would say, residential, commercial, and agricultural development, small and light industry. The economic development in this area, it seems a little bit too Elmont-centric, if you say. I think there's a land zoned for commercial and agricultural and business or industry use just outside Elmont as well. And to me, that's something that's been overlooked for a long time.
Other comments? If not, I've scratched down a few motions based on what I'm hearing, because I think we do want to reflect any changes or any updates with a motion so that we know that it's there and the public know it's there. And Councillor Holmes, I was going to suggest that, and you may want to change this, it's just something I've scratched down. I was going to suggest, when considering Plan 12, the Economic Development and Branding Plan, that this plan reflect the current and future effects and realities of COVID-19. And that can be then part of the conversation that happens. And, who knows what will happen in another 6 months? I mean, I don't want to say that, but you called it. But I think that way the conversation gets framed the way we are right now. It may not end up being a five-year plan. It may end up being a COVID-19 branding plan. It would be, I think, whatever then suits best the conversation we have at that time with the public. Does that sound right? Okay. Did you catch that? I can say it again? Okay. So when considering Plan 12, which is the Economic Development and Branding Plan, that the conversation reflect the current and future effects and realities of COVID-19. I should have just emailed it to you. Oh, someone's typing it. Who is that? Is that what you're doing? Considering the Plan 12, the economic reflect the current and future realities of COVID-19. Yes, that's what I have here. Effects and realities, I had said, but I mean, it can just be realities. I said current and future effects and realities. Is that to your, does that fit?
Is there some way we can add into that the
agriculture and local food?
The local food.
I have a second one for that.
Okay. Yeah.
So very similar, when considering Plan 12, the Economic Development and Branding Plan, that discussions reflect the agriculture and local food priority as highlighted by COVID-19.
Mayor Lowry, would you be so kind as to read that one again?
Oh, one more time? Considering Plan 12, they did it. That discussions reflect the agriculture and local food, local food systems, I guess, as a priority as highlighted by COVID-19. And feel free to wordsmith that. That's just something I've scratched down. So if we look at the first motion, this is to bring the COVID piece into the economic development plan and into the branding plan. And it may change that discussion from what it was, you know, 7 or 8 months ago. But that's where we are today. Is that a motion you'd like to move, Councillor Holmes?
Yes, please.
Is there anything you wanted to change in it? No. Is there a seconder for that motion number one? Deputy Mayor Benelli? Any discussion about motion number one? We're comfortable with that? Okay, so all in favor of motion number one? Okay, so that carries. And then motion number two, this is about reflecting the agriculture and local food systems as a priority, as has been highlighted by COVID-19. Again, would you like to move that? You brought it out. Okay, and a seconder then for that motion? Councillor Ferguson? Any discussion on this motion? Councillor Maiden?
I'd like that motion just to be as it is, except just as highlighted by COVID-19. I don't think that needs to be in there. I think bringing agricultural and local food systems as priorities into the economic development plan is good enough on its own, with or without COVID-19.
Okay. So food system as a priority, period?
Yeah.
So can we do that as a friendly amendment, Councillor Holmes and Councillor Ferguson? We've already touched the COVID piece in the first motion, so I think it'll be probably considered as those discussions anyway. So we'll change that then as a friendly amendment. Any further discussion on motion two? Okay, seeing not, all in favor? Okay, that's motion number two. The one I had mentioned at the beginning that I felt we had maybe missed the youth lens, and we certainly didn't get feedback from the youth. Again, sort of same format as the other motions. When considering Plan 10, which is the communications and engagement plan, that specific strategies be utilized to engage youth. be utilized or be identified? Maybe identified is better. That discussions include instead of be used, discussions include. What did I write here? Strategies to engage youth. Now, is this something that a mover and seconder would wish to support? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. You were looking for that one under number 12, is that correct?
Number 10.
Oh, number 10,
communication,
sorry.
Communication and engagement plan.
Sorry about that. Yeah. What about, where does that number 2 then fall in reference to that?
Community safety plan? I was meaning this purely as a way to engage.
Okay.
And it might end up looking like, I don't know, we have a municipal TikTok account. I'm not going to run that one because I don't even know what it is. CAO's on that. I know he wants that one. It might be like a shadow council of youth, something like that. And we might identify in the community safety plan a role for youth there too. I was just meeting as a high level, have a discussion that how do we engage the youth in what we do and get their input. That's all I was meeting with this. CEO Kelly?
Thank you, Mayor Lowry. With regards to that, in terms of strategies to engage youth, do you mean this is something that would be, and I hate to use this word because it's almost like an acronym, and, but like a lens that we look at things. Like I can remember that many, many years ago that the City of Ottawa, when they first amalgamated, they took, there was a policy direction and each report to council included a rural impacts component. So this, it was intended such that it wasn't downtown centric, everything wasn't downtown centric. And I'm wondering, is that what you mean? Like this is a way of looking at things, everything?
Yeah, it could be.
It's not just a one-time thing. So speaking to your point, Councillor Ferguson, then are you saying that each one of our project charters would include something like this, or at least it would speak to it, whether it addresses youth or it doesn't address youth? Is that?
Okay. It could be, and like Councillor Holmes was saying, having some kind of a preamble that acknowledges various things. Maybe it's the youth lens that actually fits there better than attaching it to the communication and engagement plan. Maybe that would be a better fit. Maybe we want to say youth and age friendly to be, you know, inclusive. It just struck me that we didn't get feedback at all from the youth, and we're really not doing anything in a way that would have solicited that input either. So yeah, maybe it's better that it be a lens for the whole thing.
So sorry, Mayor Lowry, but just going back to, say, our community value statements, do they not, I'm just quickly scanning them, but I see we support age-friendly recreation and arts through our natural assets and people in play. Again, I don't see youth permeating all of those, so if it's to be a lens, and what about our vision statement?
Sorry, you have a comment?
I think your motion, I mean, as we're looking at that motion and we're going to bring it in through the engagement, I mean, if the intention is to engage youth and then try and we'll say, populate the rest of the priorities with that. I think we can handle that through that motion. I think we can tackle it that way.
But I'm thinking as well, perhaps, because I have a fourth motion, given what we've been discussing, and there's a desire around the table to have a communication about the strat plan process, appreciation of the comments, and identifying that those comments will play into discussions later. Maybe that's also where we identify that a lens that includes the youth's view. Maybe it goes into there somehow. Let Jean figure that out, maybe. Or a lens that includes all demographics in our community. Anyway, we're kind of wandering a little bit away from it. Councillor Maiden?
I think we had a conversation, and it might be like over a year ago, about using the co-op programs or for municipal, you know, hiring students for the municipality and so forth. That might be one of the things that the CAO Kelly mentioned, to use a youth lens in all of these kinds of projects. And, you know, when preparing a report, you know, it's like, how does this affect the, you know, youth in high school or whatever. But that could be sort of one of the trajectories of having a youth lens on things, mm-hmm. not just necessarily in communication. Communication like might imply like TikTok, as you said, or Snapchat or whatever, yeah. but it sort of goes a little bit broader than that, so I don't mm-hmm. know whether it might be a kind of a guiding principle more than a particular project.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I didn't want to attach any kind of particular project necessarily, and it's where I thought including it in the communications and engagement plan, they can then decipher what that lens looks like, or we, I guess, as part of that conversation as well. Try to fix my emotion. So communication on the strategic planning process that identifies that youth, rural, and agriculture are considerations that must be addressed, considered in each priority.
The communication was kind of what you had started off with, but maybe it's not the communication, but the strategic planning process.
Councillor Holmes?
In one of the emails we got from Bridging Generations, they use the phrase, it will take into consideration age-friendly components of all areas. I'm wondering if we could, somewhere, if we could put that identifies age-friendly components, including youth.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because often when we say age-friendly, we forget it means all ages. Yeah, no, that's good. So if we go back to that motion, strategic planning process, so this is a change from where we had started, I think. Or is this another one? This is a fourth motion. This is a third motion, I think. Or is this a fourth motion? So there's the third, and then this one is the lens piece that the whole strategic plan would look through, okay? And if it's age-friendly, including youth, rural, and agriculture, are considerations that must be addressed, considered in each priority. So let's go back to motion three. Let's finish that one off first. And I think, Councillor Ferguson, you had moved it? Or you had just asked a question about it?
No, I was asked a question before, but yeah, no problem going back to three.
Okay, so if we go back to three, this is really about devising plans. So we're not solving the problem here at the table, we're just identifying that we'd like it to be considered. Is there a mover and seconder then for motion three? Councillor Holmes, Councillor Dalgety. Any further discussion about motion three? Okay, we're okay with that one then? All in favor? Okay, that carries. And then motion four, this is more about the lens that all of these 13 discussions would include a lens that's age-friendly, including youth, that includes the rural and agriculture piece. Councillor Ferguson?
Okay, yep, thank you. Now, do you mean by that that identifying the planning process to the residents? So if that's the case, should it also be should it also be implementation? If there's going to be a plan to identify, should that also be contained, some implementation of that plan be contained as well, or no? If we're identifying them to the residents as to how the process is going to work, should we also at the same time provide an implementation part of it within that thought process, though?
Yeah, I know I'm with you there, CEO Kelly. Yeah.
And I think the implementation comes in your project charter discussion. So, for instance, if each charter now has to, as I was saying, this again, don't want to use the word of a lens, but it would be something like your financial impact in your current reports. So if we took something like that concept, and put it in the project charters and said, okay, is this priority? How is it addressing youth engagement? How is it addressing the rural, or how does it affect the rural community? How does it affect agriculture? Now, for some of these things, it might be there is no impact, but for others, so for instance, maybe the human resources component of the organization, maybe there's not an agricultural impact to the human resources plan for the organization, but it would say there is no plan, similar to how you look at the financial impact. So we would carry forward that thought process. So each priority would have something to that effect. And I was just going to say, maybe we should read out this motion just to have it on audio as well before we vote on it, because I think we've been working on the Word document up here, kind of wordsmithing, but we haven't kind of read it out in full when we've been done.
Yeah, I think we need to change around the sentence a little bit. Deputy Mayor Minnelli had a comment, though, I'll go to first.
On motion number four, it says age-friendly rural and agriculture considerations. Could we put an environmental impact somewhere in that statement?
Could we put environmental impact in that statement somewhere?
Sure. That's actually, I think, something Councillor Holmes brought up in one of our other discussions. Environmental impact or climate change impact or something like that? Environmental, is that better?
Environmental impact.
Environmental impact, okay. Well, and if we're adding a few lenses, do we want to, it won't be part of each of these discussions, but do we want to put COVID right in there so each conversation has the opportunity to say this is affected by COVID or not, and it's in this way? I mean, we could do that too. Okay, so if we wordsmith this a little bit, are you working on fixing it up? And I think we want to put COVID in there too. Okay, so that the strategic planning process identifies age-friendly, including youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impact considerations. Whoops, that doesn't quite work. Must be addressed, considered in each priority.
Could I
think
just
we just need
around
that in there between identifies and age. It's not age-friendly. So strategic planning process identifies that age-friendly, including youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impact considerations must be addressed, considered in each priority.
And the addressed or considered is just kind of a word choice. We'll take okay. we'll take one out just as.
Yeah, either I think. Councillor Maiden?
I'm just wondering if we can simplify that to the strategic planning process lens includes age-friendly youth, rural and agricultural considerations, and any other ones like COVID-19 and environmental. So we'd have a whole list of them.
Of lenses?
Yeah, well, if or considerations, if you want to call it that. The strategic planning process includes age-friendly, youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impacts. I'm not sure that all of those are always going to be applicable in depending on what we're doing.
I think this will be like when we get a report that says, are you wanting to respond?
I was just going to say, I think as you move forward, and as we see the Strategy Corp recommendations that are coming forward, each of the reports that should be coming forward to council should have a component in them that speak to the strategic alignment of whatever that report is that comes forward. So within that section of a staff report, it would speak to how it aligns to the strategic plan. So for instance, does this staff report support or help achieve a component of the strategic plan? And we could also feed in some of these things here. Does it help address any of these components? Because I think you're right, Councillor Maiden, that not all of our reports or our day-to-day business may speak to each and every one of these things. So it's kind of going to be a, you know, timely or depending on the subject matter.
I think you're very right there. I think how it addresses the strategic plan is basically would cover all of that, maybe except the COVID. But, and you know, the COVID, if we get a vaccine, it might go away next year. That, I think, I like that a lot better.
Okay. And I think that's what is reflected here. Kind of the same as when we have a staff report and it says financial implications, and sometimes there is and sometimes there's not. Like, I think this is the same kind of.
Do you want it to be that specific that we'll say that motion four is that component? Each staff report coming forward should speak to how it aligns to the strategic plan and identifies age-friendly, including youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impacts.
We could. I was meaning it simply on like these 13 conversations.
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Which, to make sure that this is understood when we go away.
Yeah.
You mean the priorities that are in the strat plan.
In the strat plan. And I think when we have the further SDR, don't use acronyms, service delivery review. I think then we could identify if we would like to see staff reports updated such that they're recognizing the strategic plan. Like, I think just if we keep our two processes apart, I think that might make it a little clearer if everyone's in agreement with that. I think it's one of the recommendations that's coming from the...
Like I said, I think, anyway. Councillor, you're going to see this one again in a
week.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. So we've chewed this a little bit. So this is basically saying that each of these 13 priorities will consider, where appropriate, the age-friendly, including youth, rural agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impact considerations. It may not, there'll be ones that none of them hit, and there'll be ones that all of them hit. What are our thoughts here? Councillor Ferguson.
Yeah, you mentioned where applicable. Maybe that should be inserted as opposed to in each priority.
Sure. Makes it a little easier, yeah. Other comments on this? Is there a mover and seconder for this motion?
No,
but oh, sorry.
Considerations where applicable and remove in each priority, because it's still a question mark whether it's going to be contained in each priority, I think. So impact considerations where applicable. boom, drop it at that. Take out, yeah.
So is it just understood then that it'll be, if you're working on, I don't know, the human resources plan, you know you need to go through these five items and pick out the ones that
Yeah, if it's apply? Applicable, and I think that's what you had said, and
okay.
I think, because they may not be on each priority, so rather than making a dictate, just take each priority out and just impact considerations where applicable, period.
Okay. Sure. As long as it's understood and that's shared with staff.
And I think the CAO is here to address that.
Sure. So this pared-down version now, strategic planning process identifies that age-friendly, including youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impact consideration. That doesn't work. Where applicable. We're missing a word. Be considered. There we go.
Yeah.
So the strategic planning process identifies that age-friendly, including youth, rural, agriculture, COVID-19, and environmental impacts be considered where applicable. I think we got there. We just need an S on impact. Can you imagine anyone listening to this conversation?
I'll move that.
You'll move that? Okay, so it's moved by Councillor Dalgety. Is there a seconder? Councillor Holmes. Further discussion on motion 4. Everyone's clear on what it is? We've kind of gone around and around on it. Okay, all in favor? Perfect. That carries. And then the fifth that I was going to suggest, it might not need to be a motion, maybe it's just direction to staff to follow up this meeting with a communication clarifying the process, thanking the public for the comments, and clarifying that there'll be further discussions that would allow for those discussions to happen. Councillor Holmes?
As part of that, and doesn't need to be a motion, I don't think, but I think to everyone who actually sent us an email, it would be really good if they got back an email with that, besides us putting it on our website or whatever.
I agree.
But to acknowledge everyone.
Yeah, I agree. We could do it as a motion, so we're really clear. CEO Kelly is all over the motions here this afternoon. And I am just watching the time because we have another meeting at 6, and I want you to have a little bit of a break.
Mayor Lowry, was there more to that motion, valuable input, and?
Explaining the process. I think we've said a few times how there'll be other communication, like there'll be other opportunities for communication on each of these pieces. And that some of that feedback, I'm getting really long, too long for a motion. Perfect. And I think Councillor Holmes had said that, this communication be sent directly to all of the folks we received email from. Councillor Maiden?
Back at the start of this process, I think we asked CAO Kelly if he was comfortable leading us through this process, and he said he was, and I'd just like to thank him for leading us through it, although it's not over yet.
Thank you. Go ahead. Maybe. Oh, am I missing?
Just thanking them for input, and they should receive that communication also. Like it should be part of that thank you, and this is include that whole communication that we're going to put on our website or whatever.
Maybe it's just that each respondent receive the communication directly. So each respondent.
So suggesting two, one that goes out generally on the news feed and then one that's specific to each person?
I, Yeah, I think it could be the same communication. We just want to make sure that these folks get it. I think that's the gist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could just even be each respondent receive this communication directly, just for. Perfect. So a communication be issued that thanks the public for their valuable input and explaining the process, including other opportunities for public engagement, and that each respondent receive this communication directly. Okay, mover and seconder for that. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Maiden, any discussion on this one? Okay, seeing not, all in favor? All right. So I am just watching the time. We're 22 or 19.
Mayor Lowry?
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify with the clerk.
Oh.
Did we vote on the original motion in the staff report, which was to accept the consultation information?
That's next.
Okay.
I haven't done those yet.
Okay.
I haven't done the information piece, and I haven't done the amended plan yet. Those are, I guess, motions 7 and 8 or whatever we're at now. So before I go to receiving the strat plan, the public consultation for information and then the approval of the strat plan, is there anything else anyone would like to see a motion for? Or any adjustment to? Remembering that this is the high level piece, the details will come later. Okay, seeing not, I'm now back in the agenda, and I'm looking at the recommended motion for the 2020 to 2023 strategic plan. And the recommended motion is that council accept this report with the results of the public consultation as information, and that council approve the strategic plan 2020 to 2023 as amended for implementation. Is there a mover and seconder for that? Councillor Maiden, Councillor Girard? Any further discussion? Councilor Ferguson.
Is there any way that we could keep the latter part of it out, which is approving the implementation now until such time as we hear from the first budget discussion, and also from, and I understand, if I understand correctly, from our service delivery, which is next week, is that correct? Or the next, so is it possible to approve this at our, our council meeting on the 6th, at which time these both of these will have been addressed, or at least we've had discussion specifically to it?
We can split the motion and do that. I'm not sure if the budget and the SDR will change these 13 discussions, may change the discussions that happen as a result of
Yes.
of us agreeing to go ahead with the
right.
with the plan.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's other thoughts on that. Like, I think the detail pieces are coming later.
Yeah, I agree with that
yeah.
as well. Yes, yeah.
Do you wish to split the motion?
I would.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, do I have a mover and seconder right now? And I'm trying to remember how to split the motion. We just need a mover and seconder to split the motion?
Yeah.
Okay, so then Councillor Ferguson, you are proposing to split the motion
yes.
into two. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Holmes? Any discussion on splitting the motion? So that means we'll have two motions instead of one? Okay, no discussion. All in favor of splitting the motion? Okay. You're okay?
Yeah.
So then we're back to motion one with the original mover and seconder. That's, I think, accurate.
I amended the last one. So you want to table the motion.
Sorry, you amended the last one that it's split? Okay, and the original mover and seconder would apply for the first?
Councillor Maiden
Okay. So let's just do that one first. So we have Councillor, sorry, who was it? Okay, so Councillor Maiden and Girard move that Council accept this report with the results of the public consultation as information. So we're split it, it's just that. Any final comments on receiving for information? Councillor Maiden?
Just a clarification. I think we voted, or our motion was to receive both, and then it was split, right?
No.
So I didn't move to accept the first one. I moved to accept both of them, and you seconded that?
Yeah, and that's where I'm not sure. Like, do we not need a new mover and seconder for it?
So voted on the first motion, and then you wanted to amend it.
Can I suggest we pull this and just start again as two separate? We can put it on the table that way instead, because I'm not sure if we're procedurally correct. So the original mover was Councillor Maiden and Councillor Girard. Are you comfortable pulling that motion so we'll put something different on the floor?
Sure, I guess.
Is that okay? All right, I'm not sure that that's any better procedurally. So I'm going to look for a mover and seconder for only the first part of the motion. So this is that Council accept the report with the results of the public consultation as information. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for just that part. Councillor Girard? Councillor Maiden? Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. And the second part of the motion, which is now a standalone motion, it's that Council approve the strategic plan 2020 to 2023 as amended for implementation. I can put this on the floor and then you can amend it if you wish, Councillor Ferguson, or if you'd like to put a different motion on the floor, you can do so. I don't think we can do that. We
no,
can't,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you would need to refer it until October 6th.
Okay.
You can't, I think, approve something following.
No, okay.
Excuse me, Your Worship. As we were putting together the agenda for the October meeting, would we be able to push this to the October 20th meeting?
It to bring it back. October 6th meeting?
It's pretty full and it.
Yeah, probably, yeah, okay.
It was a suggestion by the clerk that we do it for the October 20th meeting, if that's possible.
So that's a lot of weeks forward that we're missing time on. CEO Kelly?
I'm just wondering if the complication, or maybe if the objection in this second part of the motion, and that Council approved the strategic plan 2020 to 2023 as amended, if the objection is the for implementation, and if we simply allowed Council to vote on accepting the strategic plan as it is for 2020-2023 as amended, full stop, then you will be able to make specific decisions about the implementation during the budget process and as you move forward. But at least it will be a guiding document. I think as we keep rolling this forward, you're going to
lose a lot of time.
It's not going to reach finalization. So I think if the objection is about the implementation component, when, how much money we spend, maybe we just remove that from that motion, and you accept this is your strategic plan. This is your document that you want to go forward with. These are your 13 priorities, as amended.
Okay. And just to clarify to your point, even though we have a financial implication for each of these actions and deliverables, we haven't approved a budget for them. So, I mean, there's that to keep in mind. It's not like we're saying yes to the $550,000 right now. Councillor Ferguson, would that be comfortable to you? And that Council approve the strategic plan 2020 to 2023 as amended, point.
No, that's fine, but I won't vote that way. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to put it forward and see where everyone else is on it, and we'll see if we're going to go with something else, okay? So I'm going to suggest that the second motion is that Council approve the strategic plan 2020 to 2023 as amended, period. Is there a mover and seconder for that? Councillor Maiden? Councillor Dalgety? Any further discussion? Do you wish to have a recorded vote?
No, it's okay.
You're okay? All right. Okay. And then I'll call the vote on this then. All in favor of the motion? One, two, three. Sorry, was your hand up or not, Councilor Gerard?
I'm thinking I'm going to say no.
Okay, so I had, what, one, two, three, four. So that is approved. And just a reminder that financial stuff is yet to come. There's not been decisions made on that yet. Confirmatory bylaw. I'm looking for a mover and seconder to confirm the proceedings this afternoon. Councillor, I'm sorry, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, I give you a... Yep, thank you, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Dalgety, all in favor. Thank you very much. And adjournment, mover and seconder for adjournment. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden, all in favor. Thank you, we're adjourned.